Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, the second program of the month of May, 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room and be among the conversation, the merriment, the real-time multimedia extravaganza with folks like Anatole and Jug of Punch and Laborman and Little Gray, all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky. Sparky being a third stage field navigator, having folded space there in Northern California to become Man Cave. Yes, yes, indeed. It is the third day of May 2016, and it's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. Dear God, sound the iceberg alert, because we got lots of Titanic intellect to celebrate today. Lots and lots and lots. Now, this is, of course, the day of the Indiana primary. And there has been lots and lots and lots of blathering about that today. But I got to thinking about it in one regard, maybe the other people aren't thinking about, and that is that on the Republican side of things, we may actually find out more about Indiana's Republicans than we ever really wanted to know. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Yes, there we go. Yeah. Because in the chat room, Little Gray says, what is the name of the individual whom is addressing us? I really am Bob Kincaid. And what I mean about finding out more than we wanted to know about Republicans in Indiana, you know, that in Talibandiana is a bizarre place. If you cross out of Ohio into Talibandiana, on, for instance, Interstate 70 westbound, the first two things you see are an ad for a giant, and unless it's changed, an ad for a giant RV sales place and a giant fetus billboard. It's when you're traveling through the wilds of Talibandiana, all you got to do is hit your scan button, and I mean, there's all kinds of Jesus radio through southern Talibandiana. And so the standard talking point today for the Republican side of the Talibandiana primary is that this is do or die for Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed booger-eating future king of America. Only they don't describe him that way because they're not into accuracy in broadcasting or print or whatever. And I guess it is. So we're going to find out just how evangelical the evangelicals in Talibandiana are. They were evangelical enough to support the passage of a law that would have made sure that no sleazy pizza, sleazy hetero pizza makers, sleazy Christian pizza makers would ever have to cater a gay wedding. We know they're that weird. But if they are the fundies that they claim to be, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalists, amosexuals, one and all, then Ted Cruz, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, should win Talibandiana. It's kind of a bellwether, if the bell in question is a bell jar in the Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium, and that's Odditorium. Yeah. Because, you know, Ted Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed booger-eating future king of America, is, well, Jesus is apparently the only friend he has. Well, I mean, there's always Louis Asparagus Gohmert. How right-wing Christian are they? If Trump comes away with a victory, well, then that does not speak well for the evangelical vote over on the right-wing side of the aisle. Because remember, the evangelicals are supposed to be able to swing elections and they're voting in the name of the precious little fetuses. And if they don't turn out and deliver Talibandiana for Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed booger-eating future king of America, best friend of Jesus, then their sun may be setting. Their moon may be waning and not waxing. So it remains to be seen. What else? We had a Navy SEAL die in the hellhole known as, of our making, known as Iraq. Yeah, and he I don't even have the name at hand. More's the pity. But he died of small arms fire, which means that he was in a firefight with ISIS, who just ask any Republican, and they'll tell you, we'll be right there on the doorstep in Split Underpants, Indiana, day after tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But it's sad. I think this particular Navy SEAL is the third American service member to die in that filthy, blood-soaked hellhole of our own making. Thanks for that Iraq War vote, Hillary. Thanks for believing Dick and Dub. Man, they must have seen you coming from a mile away. Yeah, here comes Hillary, and she's gonna. I figure she'll probably vote with us. She's gonna look tough. And then if it all goes sour, she can claim it was a mistake. That's fine. Jules in the chat room telling me, "Oh my God, oh my effing God, Bob Kincaid, you have no idea how bizarro Talibandiana really is." Yeah, I do. We have long had correspondence from Talibandiana. A member of the fraternity of Greg is from Talibandiana, and for long and long and long we've had dispatches from the land of the weird. So No, we've got, and of course, President Obama was careful to note that just because a SEAL got killed in Iraq doesn't mean that we're ramping up or escalating or going to get back in there in any serious way. He was an advisor. Here's the problem. When an advisor gets shot, an advisor dies just as dead as a soldier does. Gerald with a note said, I voted early today. It was Hillary Clinton for president, right? Right, you betcha. And the nation this morning was just all abuzz over a Cletus here by the name of Bo Copley. It was Bo Copley, unemployed miner, who took Hillary Clinton to task last night at a meeting, at a sit-down, at a listening session at a healthcare clinic in Williamson, West Virginia, which incidentally exists because of funding provided to that clinic via the Affordable Care Act as a result of an amendment placed in the Affordable Care Act by none other than one Senator Bernie Sanders. Just saying. But he got a lot because I just want you to look at these people. These are my friends. This is my family. These are who you're talking about when you say you're going to put miners out of work. And it was all terribly dramatic. And it turns out it was all just a really, really, really bad piece of politics and by whoever the inepts are who are running Hillary's stumbling, bumbling, rumbling presidential campaign. Because Bo Copley is a Republican. He's a registered Republican. And they invited him to the sit-down. Anywho. What the hell? Why not? So, naturally, he was on the statewide radio program hosted by a hardcore right-wing Republican who, as a full-grown man, is still referred to as Hoppy. No, really. Where he announced, well, there ain't no way I'm ever going to vote for Hillary Clinton. I mean, I'm a registered Republican. So he, like a whole bunch of the mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking freaks out in the street standing in the rain, you know that old saying, doesn't have sense enough to come in out of the rain? Them. Because they stood there in the rain with their Trump Make America Great Again signs. And guess who showed up to visit? That's right. Don Blankenship showed up to stand there in solidarity with the Trump supporters. And one reporter walked up and said, care to give an interview? And he just said, are you kidding? So maybe sometime around the 12th of May, we'll find out if he's actually going to do real prison time. But it turns out Bo Copley is not just he's complicated, Bo is. Bo Copley is not just your ordinary, average, out-of-work coal miner registered Republican. No. When the Hillary campaign picks a loser, I mean, they pick them good. Because he took time on this statewide radio program today to talk about how he was just a-hoping to get close enough to lay the healing hands of the Lord on Hillary Clinton so that she could have a Holy Ghost revival experience. I'm not kidding. This is not a joke. Yeah, we're having a Holy Ghost tent revival, and you know what? We had to move it because we got so many people come to it. We had 1,400 people last week, and I was just a-hoping maybe she'd come and get the Holy Spirit. Only, no, he didn't say, he said Holy Ghost. I mean, this guy is one rattle away from serpent handling. and he damn sure does not have the brains to understand the economic and socio-political dynamics at work that have wound up crushing southern West Virginia. He thinks it's because of that one in the White House, you know, the Kenyan Muslim usurper and his job-killing EPA. By the way, I figured that out today. If you ever have to put that in print, job-killing EPA, that's J-A-W-B hyphen K-I-L-L-I-N, and then it's E-E-P-E-E-Y-A-Y, job-killing EPA. So, it goes back to I think it was the great writer Jimmy Breslin who asked of the 62 Mets. Does anyone here know how to play this game? Does anybody running Hillary's campaign actually know how to run a political campaign? Oh well. And so today it's been all about how she's going to be the president of everybody, and okay, good. But these mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking friends of Jesus down there, they're gonna spend 4 to 8 years screaming at her just like they did. Can you imagine? Now, there's a lot to criticize Barack Obama for. There's a lot of different ways we would like for him to have been a better president over these last 8 years. But you got to give credit where credit is due. Barack Obama has tried to give free money to the Appalachian Sacrifice Zone, measured in billions of dollars. Remember, there were billions of dollars of corporate welfare for the coal industry in the Waxman-Markey bill. Remember Waxman-Markey a million years ago? You can almost see the print on it through the dim and misty fog of backward-looking time. Oh, wait. Oh, Joe Manchin. Oh, you pinned it to a tree and shot it with a .30-06. Damn, because he really did that, my senator. He took out the cap-and-trade bill and kid it. Killed it with a gun. But there were billions of dollars of coal industry corporate welfare in that bill. But the dumbass coal industry didn't have common good sense enough to say, what? I mean, this is how stupid they are, okay? All they had to do was stick their greedy little coal dust-covered mitts out. And Barack Obama and the Congress were willing to put billions of dollars in their greedy little mitts. But instead, they were busy looking for their ass with both hands and had both hands in up to the elbows. Found it! And then there's the latest plan that's got millions and millions and millions of dollars in it.
Don't want any free money. Take your goddamn Kenyan money and take your Kenyan Muslim money and just get on out of here. We just want a nice white president. That's all. That'll leave us free and let us work. Let us dig the coal that ain't there no more.
Yeah, yes, Gerald, you've got it. Gerald says, so let me get this straight. Hillary's going to be the president of everybody, and Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz is going to be anointed king of America. Man, politics is hard. Math is hard, yes. So earlier, Hillary said, we've got to do a lot more on carbon capture and sequestration and try to see how we can get coal to be a fuel that can continue to be sold and continue to be mined. I think I'm going to have to add something to the list of props that I have to work with here
during the program. I need one of those Monty Python boards that the monks use. Jesu Domine. Whack! I need just whack! Carbon capture and sequestration. The biggest carnival barker boondoggle that pseudoscience has yet produced. But our primary is next Tuesday, so we'll go back to being ignored real soon. And it'll be kind of a relief. Because people will, the political class will stop pretending that they give up about what happens here. We can just go back to living and clinging to life and dying early and having a male life expectancy on a par with Haiti. And nobody will be shocked by that anymore. And it'll be kind of a relief, I guess. Like I said, lots of Titanic stuff today. Lots of Titanic material. And we haven't even tapped into some of the best of it. Yeah, I know we've got listeners like Granny T and Charlie and some others. We got listeners in the great state of Tennistan, or as it was described on the welcome signs back when I was a little boy, the three great states of Tennessee. And guess something really. No, cool is not the word for it. Something oops blam pray happened in Tennessee today. As of, today, Governor Bill Haslam allowed a bill to become law without his signature. The bill had passed 69-24 in the Tennessee House and 28-5 in the Tennessee Senate. Goes into effect on July the 1st. And it allows educators and other full-time staffers at the public state universities and colleges of Tennessee to carry Freedom Protectors on campus. Well, I'm sure people in Tennessee just feel so much freer already. University of Tennessee system said, oh, please don't do that. State Board of Regents said, no, really, please don't do that. 50 state public colleges and universities will be affected by the law. And, good times. Is showing the courage of his convictions, Governor Haslam said, although SB 2376 does not go as far as I would like in retaining campus control, the final version of the bill included input from higher education and was shaped to accommodate some of their concerns. I don't think so. Because the Board of Regents and the state university said, please, no, really, we don't want, please, no. But the teabagger legislature, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals that they are, said, no, you're going to have firearms freedom, whether you like it or not. I mean, we ain't the volunteer state for nothing. But, you know, I should mention, it's 25 minutes past the hour. I completely blew past this. We do try to keep the bills paid here via contributions, gifts. Don't have anything to sell. And thank you very kindly to our subscribers. We would have had a $400 fundraising hole to fill this evening, but instead we have only a $340 fundraising hole to fill. And thanks go out in that regard to Greg in Texas and to Janice in Wisconsin and to Tim in Des Moines and to John in Tallahassee. Exciting day there in Tallahassee. Thank you very kindly to our subscribers. That's exactly, well, one of these days we'll have 400, and I won't have to say this stuff at all anymore. But we do. We've got a $340 fundraising hole this evening. And 10 at 34, 1 at 340, 2 at 170, 4 at 85, 8 at 4250, etc. I think I got it right, didn't I? Yeah. But the PayPal interface is over at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute, and there you'll just if you'd like to join in that merry happy little band of subscribers, just click the check the box that says make this a recurring contribution. $10, $20, what have you. It is all badly needed. It all goes to keep all of this going. And, of course, if you prefer the U.S. Postal Service, you're welcome to use that as well. Checks and money orders, because we share a location with the Klan. We're a bunch of thieving, no good, lower in a snake's belly in a wagon rut, POSs, terrorists. Checks and money orders may payable to the Horn can be sent to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. Okie doke. So we've gotten that out of the way, and hopefully we won't have a $540 hole for prayer meeting Wednesday. That would be really nice. No, Titanic Tuesday is for the purpose of celebrating right-wing intellect, right? Or what passes for intellect. Enter grumpy old cranky Uncle Ron Paul, father of Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist. For some reason or another, I guess they had some time to kill at Chicken Noodle News. So one of their bookers called up and said, reckon he could come on the program? And of course, because he is sliding rapidly into the obscurity where he always belonged, Ron Paul said, well, shucks, yeah. And so he went on Chicken Noodle News to declare... Oh, my God. No, really. To declare that there are a lot of similarities between T-Rump and, get the hockey puck, Bernie Sanders. Personally, I think about the only similarity between Bernie Sanders and T-Rump is the at least marginal possibility that they are both humans. Although, personally, I think the jury is still out on that question where T-Rump is concerned. I mean, this is not the first time that I've seen this comparison made. And of, but of course, the cranky old Uncle Ron Paul, racist. Just look it up; it's out there. I mean, they gave Larry Wilmore shit. You know, oh no, Ron Paul, read the newsletter.
In many ways, Sanders and Trump are similar, but they're different in the solutions. Sanders, you know, is blaming too much freedom, too much free market, so he wants socialism. Trump understands the system very well, and young people are unhappy, but Trump has worked within the system. He's been part of the deep state that controls the politics. But he speaks frankly to them, and the young people are looking for answers. Unfortunately, the two of them are addressing the problem and describing it, but both of them come up with the wrong answer. Right now, I think Sanders is getting a lot of support, but he's getting in the absolute, going in the absolute opposite direction, because as far as libertarians are concerned, it's too much government, too much interference, too much control of the markets, too many special interests.
Nah, Ron, all a libertarian wants is to vote Republican and smoke dope. Cranky old Uncle Ron Paul says he'll try to find him a libertarian or an independent candidate to vote for instead of T-Rump. And God knows he'd never vote for that Hillary. Why even ask? Why even ask? And then there's this. This took place at the state fairgrounds there in Talibandiana. I read a story the other day saying that the Beckerheads empire is slowly imploding upon itself. I guess imploding, the upon itself becomes superfluous. It's imploding. Because he can't be bothered to get behind the microphone and actually do a show. He's out there. He's too busy out there trying to change America via the mass appeal of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. I could do a setup on this, but I'd just rather leave it out there for so that we can all enjoy a good bite out of the hockey puck. Strap in. We're going to be a couple of minutes with this.
Once have I seen him betray his values. Not once. I have seen him take arrows from the front, from the Democrats. I have take arrows from all sides in the media, and now from our own side, from the Drudge Report, and even Fox News. I have seen him take arrows from all sides, and then Boehner and McConnell as they stab him in the back. And you know what?
Do you notice that they keep turning the mic, turning the gain up on the booing? Yeah, who's running that board? It's almost like it's canned booing or something. But what does he mean when he says "and now Boehner and McConnell"? Was there a time when Boehner and McConnell thought Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, was a great guy? Because I don't remember that time. Because it all goes back to the fact that the minute that Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, got to the Senate, he started trying to demagogue his way into some sort of position of power. He shut down the government. He tried to foment some sort of a damn coup over in the House. but it just dawned on the Beckerhead that maybe there are people out there that don't like him. And notice the imagery. A wingnut cannot help but use eliminationist rhetoric. What's this about arrows? And why is it arrows? You got any idea? Tell me. You know, bobkincaid@gmail.com. Because I'm kind of at a loss. But then again, every time I listen to the Beckerhead, I feel like I got hold of the brown acid. So it ain't like there's anything new in it.
So amazing. He's like Gandalf. He just stands there on that bridge with that giant dragon thing coming at him. And he said,
giant dragon thing? Now, Ted Cruz looks like the reincarnation of tail gunner Joe McCarthy. He also looks like something from a wax museum that was left out in the sun. He looks kind of vampiric. Really, really, Beckerhead? Gandalf? Standing on that bridge at the dragon thing coming at him? Now, would that be the Balrog? The Ball Hog? Ron, up in the far squishy north, says, I have long felt that Ted Cruz is the closest thing we've seen to Joe McCarthy in my lifetime. But scarier, he really believes the shit he spouts. Earther with a question says, Bob, is Beckerhead chasing the dragon now? Might be better off if he were. And Steve with the obvious question in New York said, wait! Beckerhead says Ted Cruz is a gay wizard?
Fly, you fools.
You shall not pass.
Cheer, you chumps. No, really, cheer.
He's immovable. And the reason why is because he knows who he is, he knows who he serves, and that's God and currently the people of Texas and soon to be the people of the United States of America.
Is it okay if I say that I don't want Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, to serve me? He seems like the guy who would spit in your life if he was your server. Yeah. And I was serious about the hockey puck. Really, get a good bite. Oh, right, okay. Because we're gonna we're going somewhere. Beckerhead's gonna take us somewhere that really none of us want to go. But that's always the way it is with the Beckerhead. No, Arthur, I am not going to sing. You cannot make me sing. We have a rewrite of the Battle Hymn of the Republic here, courtesy of Arthur. All right, so you've gotten the hockey puck. You're ready. You're good. All right, cool.
When you're raised by a father who has actually walked up to a wall and just missed it. Try this out for size. His father in Cuba, they were marching him to be executed. Now imagine that. He's 19 years old and he's marching to be executed. And on the way with the soldiers behind him, he sees a friend who happens to be on the government side. And he's like, hey, Bill, how are you doing?
Bill?
And that's
Bill?
When his friend said, wait a minute, what are you doing here? No, come on over here.
Bill? In the Cuban Revolution? Bill? Okay. Oh, by the way, a little observation coming courtesy of Steve in New York. Actually, the Balrog pulled Gandalf into the abyss. He didn't exactly stand fast. Oh, well, he's on a roll, Steve. I mean, did we stop when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Right. This is restaurant quality. This is restaurant quality nuts.
That's how close he was to losing his life. When he escapes and he comes to America, and then he finds Jesus, and he finds America and the dream of America, and he sets it right. I can tell you this.
Where's the part where he goes to Canada first? I mean, yes, technically, geographically, within common parlance, Canada is part of America. It's part of North America. But I think when the Beckerhead talks about America, he means, you know, Merca.
The greatest country in the world, in the universe, today, now, forever. Amen. Post no bills, use no hooks. Hallelujah. Wolverines.
Because Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the father of, didn't find his way down to the new 90 states of America for rather a long time. I mean, he and his wife lived in nuptial bliss up there in Canada. Had themselves a little baby Rafaelito up in Canada. But no, the Beckerhead says he'd just come right here. Oh, okay, that's clearer now. Bill Castro, Fidel's boy. Spoken like a true Midwesterner. Yeah, that's Fidel's boy.
Mm-hmm. How are you doing? And that's when his friend said, wait a minute, what are you doing to him? No, come on over here. That's how close he was to losing his life. When he escapes and he comes to America, and then he finds
Canada.
Jesus, and he finds America and the dream of America.
You know, the dream of America. Found a 501c3 nonprofit religious hustle and just rake it in hand over fist, tax-free. And it's all tax-free. Right.
And he sets it right. I can tell you this. That man taught Cruz, since he was this big, about freedom, about the opportunity, about the Constitution, and about how it all connects with God. He knows the combination.
Even if it doesn't exist, he knows the combination. Right, 32, left, no, never any left. It's all right. It's all right on that combination. Yep, right, yep. By the way, this clip comes from C-SPAN, who apparently had nothing better to do. I mean, wasn't there an author of a book about the origin of toilet paper that they could interview for an hour? Or so? Please, but they've got it fonted. Campaign rally in Indianapolis. Glenn Beck, the Blaze founder. Founder. Okay.
Ted and I were just driving in, and he's laughing, and on his iPhone he said, "Well, you made another Drudge headline."
Oh, that is a knee slapper.
And I said, "Well, it's better than the headline of you pushing Carly off the stage." Oh, we all saw that. And
did you see that? I know, talking about visuals on the radio is like dancing about architecture, but really, did you see that? That was like a pratfall out of Monty Python. First, there was that really creepy, creepy song that she sang to Rafaelito's children, his little daughters. And no, I mean that's like something from the trailer of a horror movie that where, you know, no, little children, don't go into the basement. Auntie Carly's down there. But there was then this bit where they were standing on bleachers or risers or something, and the crowd had to part for Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, to make his way down to speak after Carlos. And 1 minute she's there, and just the next minute she's gone. So, whoop! I mean, she Wile E. Coyote'd. She walked into thin air, and she just hung there for a minute, like Wile E. Coyote does, just whoop, gone. Look it up. It's kind of funny. I mean, if you like a pratfall or something.
It was because last night when I got home, I did something that I don't think is controversial. I asked for America to fast and pray and approach the Lord with humility. And
I'm looking at Glenn Beck and I'm thinking he has not been doing any fasting. It takes a lot of nerve to kind of get up on stage in your shabby cardigan, and I mean, I'm a big guy, okay? There's 250 pounds of me, 6 feet two, 250, and you know, I've earned every pound of it, but I'm not going to stand there in my girth and tell people that they need to fast and pray. One, I don't believe in either one. At least not from a spiritual perspective. You know, fasting is necessary before blood work sometimes to get a good lipid panel. You don't want to go and have belly surgery with a digestive tract full of beef bourguignon. So there's medical scientific fasting, but yeah, no, not so much. But I guess Glenn's going to get up on the cross now. Over fasting and praying? What? No, Marty, I did not play linebacker by any chance. I was very happy being a little nose tackle. Yes. Steve asks, do you think this crowd knows Glenn's God lives on Kolob? And, you know, I was thinking about that, too, because it's not like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, doesn't think that Mormonism is some sort of weird-ass cult, you know, because it is. But then again, all religions are weird-ass cults to me, so I'm probably the wrong guy to ask. But, I mean, you think Glenn's trying to convert him? No, really, 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 Ted. I mean, Heidi's hot and everything, but, you know, wouldn't you like to have three more? Let's all move to Utah.
And ask for his forgiveness and his protection. It is being mocked in the media as usual.
Yeah, because it's mock-worthy, because, you know, you're a hypocritical jerk. What is it that he wants... Ma and Pa Kettle there in Talibandiana, what is it that he wants them to be praying to be forgiven for? What of Joe and Jane Sixpack in French Lick done that desperately needs forgiven and fasting and praying? Did they once vote for Bill Clinton or something? Have they thought about voting for Bernie? I mean, what kind of grievous sin is it? Is it because gay people can get married in Talibandiana now, and maybe even order crummy Christian pizza? I'm kind of at a loss. But no, it's their fault. I mean, it's the mouth walking knuckle breathers that he's talking to there. It's their fault because they got to pray for forgiveness. I mean, they can't exactly pray for the Homer sectionals to be forgiven. because they're out there and they're still being all homosexual and stuff.
But I'm telling you, I don't know who we are. If that's not, if this is not an American thing, to be able to beseech the Almighty Creator, the one who gave us these rights in the first place, and through divine providence established this country, I don't know who we are.
I don't know who you are. Because everything you just said is a goddamn lie. The Constitution was not founded upon any divine rights. There's no mention in the entire document of a deity, any deity, at all. There's not even any of that providence or God and nature's God business from the Declaration. It ain't in there. It's a very business-like, enabling piece of legislation. Well, there's our first toaster of the evening. Ron in the thawing north says, all we need to do to get these assholes off the street is convince Golden Corral to start a drive-through window. What does this stuff even mean? I mean, this is Jabberwocky. This is paranoid maniac rambling. And the chumps are apparently eating it right up.
But I'm just going to make it easier for them to make fun of me.
Oh, now he's moving on to my corner. Get the off, Glenn. That's my shtick. But he's done got his Bible out. I don't think it's his Book of Mormon.
I just want to ask you if you can recognize this person. Tell me if this doesn't sound like somebody we might know. And in you, amen, brother. Come on up and get baptized.
I am much better at this than he is.
This know also that in those days the perilous time shall come for men be lovers of their own selves. They will be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From those people ye shall turn away. Man.
What are the rubes cheering at? Anybody want to help me with this? It's almost like there's little electrical wires leading to their feet or something, and somebody's just randomly pushing the button and sending a little bit of current through them and making them hoot once in a while. What's to cheer at in that? Maybe they know what's coming.
Alive. It couldn't be more clear. And yet so many people in America are missing it. We have lost common sense when we can't say, you know what, dude, you still got the thingamajig downstairs? Then you shouldn't go into the ladies' restroom. When we can't...
Goddamn. That's what this was about? The potty? Unnatural affections and traitors and what, headless horsemen or whatever's in... You know what, dude, you still got the thingamajig downstairs? Thingamajig? I guess you can't say penis in front of a bunch of good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals. Maybe they'll shoot you for saying penis. Penis!
Penis, 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 penis. Well, that was gratuitous, wasn't it?
I reckon so, Carol. Rubes cheer at everything. $5 off the buffet at Golden Corral. Woo!
No, that would that'd cause a riot. It's more like 50 cents off.
That whole thing about... So, Emory and Marvelline, they're in Talibandiana, where it gets light about 3 o'clock in the morning and nobody gets any rest. They're supposed to pray for forgiveness, I guess, because they're trans Hoosiers? Is that even a word? I guess it is now, trans Hoosiers. And it just don't make no sense that we can't say, well, you know, I really should have stopped at the liquor store.
Man alive, it couldn't be more clear. And yet so many people in America are missing it. It's we have lost common sense when we can't say, you know what, dude, you still got the thingamajig downstairs? Then you shouldn't go into the ladies' restroom. When we can't say that, we've lost our minds. That has nothing to do with hate. That has nothing to do with homosexuality, bisexuality, fluid sexuality, any of the sexualities that we now have. It has everything to do with common sense. I have daughters. I don't want guys in the bathroom with my daughters.
No, you'd rather have trans men who still have vaginas but have beards and big bulging muscles in the restroom with your daughters. Right, Glenn, you goddamned idiot? You know, a few million years from now, when all this digital stuff is finally decoded by the dominant species on this planet, you know, the 6-foot-tall race of sentient cockroaches sitting there with their little antennae, and their antennae are just going, they're going to be all over the place. And they're going to be clicking and whistling and grunting at each other and thinking at each other, the four limbs that they're not standing upright on are just going to be waving, and they're going to swear we had to be from another planet. Or that something had happened and made our brains go all soft. But in all seriousness, do we also recognize how horribly, horribly frightening this is? These are theocrats. These are mullah wannabes. And I mean no overt disrespect to Islam, but there has developed an image of unbending, theocratic, orthodox. It's not just enough that they think that it's crazy because a dude's still got a thingamajig downstairs.
Huh? What? Huh?
They want you to believe it too. And they have all these persecution fantasies which kind of give one the idea that they would like to express some of that themselves. And it never dawns on them that maybe they should, if they're so worked up about the potty, maybe they should make sure that everybody goes before you leave home and get all dressed up to go to Walmart. They want you to believe this.
No, they don't care if you believe this. They just want to force their will upon the rest of us. And that's what makes somebody like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, terrifying. Because all he's got to do, and we're always, you know, we're always just an iota away from these crazy bastards taking power. Take a minute sometime, if you really want to, take a minute sometime and just try to imagine. Just try to imagine what an America would look like if these theocratic bastards ever take control. You won't sleep. Yeah, Ron. Christian fascism. It wouldn't be the first time that that's been trotted out. Got mit uns, y'all. Sister Jude out in the great Northwest says, The cheering? Isn't that what the religious nature of the Nazi rallies were all about? This is frightening, Bob. It is frightening, Jude. It's horribly frightening. Because they're not going to give up. They want this. And they're, you know, willing to die for it. And now, of course, you know this JFK business out now? T-Rump, and I don't even know how to say this. And remain something resembling sane. T-Rump cited the National Enquirer as a source for his assertion that there was a connection between Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time, Rafaelito's daddy, well, he said, you know, his father was with Lee Harvey Oswald prior to Oswald's being, you know, shot. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. What is this? Right prior to his being shot and nobody brings it up. So this, of course, sent Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, into paroxysms of outrage. Causing Rafaelito to say that, I'm going to tell you what I really think of Donald Trump. This man is a pathological liar. He doesn't know the difference between the truth and lies. He lies practically every word that comes out of his mouth, and his response is to accuse everybody else of lying. Where's that blowgun with the Thorazine darts when I need it? Just a... So there's our filibobster. Thank you very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa, who has created a new thing. The $50 Titanic Untelect, trademarked, he trademarked the word, upside down table on the challenge, right now. So if 50 bucks come in, they will get met by Brother Deacon Asa. And that'll take us down to only 240 to go in fundraising for the evening. And there it is. It has apparently been declared. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, telling me T. Rump just won the Indiana primary. Well, 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 well. Will Cruz bow out? Will Cruz acknowledge the inevitable that the Republican Party has sunk into absolute madness? Not that it wouldn't have sunk into absent. Okay. Suicide Watch, Glenn Beck, get his belt and shoelaces. And make sure he doesn't do anything to his thingamajig. So, what time did the polls close in Indiana? 6? Or was the exit polling so overwhelming that there's just no way for Rafi Alito to catch up? I don't know. So, Well, let's close the filibobster and see if anybody wants to talk. You know the number, 304-574-8178. Or the stress line, 304-663-4676. That's 304-663-HORN. Let me make sure we're properly connected to TID. And we are. Either way is fine by me. Skype to Skype from anywhere on planet Earth. Bob Kincaid Horn. Wow, okay, a little more detail coming in. 53% to 33%. Trump will probably take 54 of 57 delegates, according to Ron, in the falling north. Uh-huh. What does a man of great faith like Rafi Alito Eduardo Cruz do when he just knows that God has been telling him that he's got to be president, and then he just gets his ass handed to him. out in San Diego, Scott and Punky with a note. Lie is such an ugly word, Bob. I prefer guilty of a terminological inexactitude. Well, as long as you can say that routinely. All right, break time. About 9 past the hour. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
A woman in the kitchen clean up the evening slime, and he looks at her and says, hey darling, I can remember when you could stop a cloud. Oh, but ain't that America, you and me? Ain't that America, something to see, baby? Ain't that America, home of the free? Yeah.
little fake houses for you and me. Oh, yeah. Just like everything else, those old crazy dreams just kind of came away.
Fourteen past the hour, just turned over. And a little something from John Mellencamp. So, early, and they haven't called it yet. Don't know what they're thinking. They haven't called it yet, but early results, 4%, an estimated 4% of the vote in. Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton leads Senator Sanders 55% to 45%. Not exactly a runaway win. But then again, there's still a way for Bernie to wind up being the nominee, but it's a narrow thing. It really is. He'd have to have a landslide in places like Oregon and California. I'm try to do my part here in West Virginia. I think Hillary will take a thumping here in West Virginia. Interesting story out over there at Chicken Noodle News as they attempt to remain a journalism outfit. They're saying that there's a lot of buzz for Tim Kaine
senator from Virginia to be her running mate. Yeah, it's a great idea. A right-wing Democrat who doesn't even fully support a woman's right to choose. That's a great idea. Yeah, you do that, Hills. You do that. Hey, look, from the far thawing north, it's our buddy Ron back from the sandbox. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How's your throat?
I'm about 50% back to my usual mellifluous voice.
Yeah, you're a little you're a little gravelly, but you sound good.
Yeah, we're beating off the frogs that want to mate here.
You know what? If you want to do that with the frogs, that's fine.
That's a Canadian joke, by the way, Bob.
Oh, okay. did you inhale a bunch of sand out in the desert or something?
No, there were three of us on the trip, and we spent. We went out into the desert doing some dune bashing and went to a Bedouin camp, and apparently the hummus had some added extra ingredients, and we spent 3 days staying within 5 minutes of our hotel room. And
that had to be excited.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, being computer geeks, we all said, well, our throughput is up. And at some point, I came down with cold laryngitis, and all of my traveling companions thought that was a wonderful thing. And it's coming back. Physically, I feel fine. I just sound like somebody ripped out half my vocal cords.
And the rest of it's resolved.
Oh, yeah. There's something called Imodium. I think I mentioned that at one point.
Yeah, big fan.
Oh, yeah, fix cracks in the Grand Coulee Dam. That stuff will. And I slept 6 or 7 hours on the flight back to Toronto from Abu Dhabi. I got home, got into Ottawa about 1:30 in the afternoon. Got home, got unpacked. Laid down for a nap at 3 in the afternoon and woke up at 7 the next morning. I haven't done that for years.
That's a nice nap. So did you? Did you get a lot of good work in you were gone?
Oh yeah, we.
Did you get invited back?
Oh yeah, many times, and some of it's already scheduled. And more doors have opened since we arrived over there, and we're doing some travel arrangements for people over there to go to various places around the world to talk to experts on what we already know, but they need to have a second opinion. And, yeah, it's all unfolding. We're looking at anywhere from 5 to 10 years worth of work.
Holy cow.
And it won't be me doing it, son. Couple of years. I'll be driving around the roads in West Virginia again, temporarily, off and on.
Whenever the fancy strikes you.
Yep.
So did you did you run immediately for absolution from Reverend Craig?
I had a whole bunch of it with me, and give you some indication of the severity of our afflictions, I returned home with 80% of it. So
you did not feel good.
That's a polite way of putting it.
Quick update on the Democratic side in Talibandiana. With 9% in, Clinton 51.8%, Sanders 48.2%.
Now, I just saw something flash across. It was 12%, and it was pretty much the same. I don't know. Do the Democrats winner take all there or split?
Oh, no, they share.
Okay. That's to be expected for Democrats, I guess. Boy, poor old Cruz must have, his sphincter must be so tight right now that he could, squeak.
Well, I asked earlier, you know, what must God be saying to Raphaelito? And Carol answered, God says, shut the f*** up about the bathrooms, Raphaelito. But, you know, they're forever looking for signs, and then every time he gives them one, assuming that he's out there to give anything, every time she gives them one, they go, no, wrong sign. No, you're supposed to tell me I'm right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing to watch. We've ended up almost exactly where I predicted we would be 9 months ago, and Trump has forced everybody else in the party to say absolutely ridiculous things. We've got the RNC turning themselves inside out, funding drying up. Even the Koch brothers are talking about abandoning the party in terms of funding. And when one of the Koch brothers had sort of tacitly admits, well, Hillary's not all bad.
I mean, she's not the devil. She's just a lesser demon.
Yeah.
Right.
And in a pantsuit. And, you know, Republicans are going to get decimated. I've moved beyond thinking about the presidential election, and I'm wondering how this is all going to play out at the state level, which is where it's really important, in terms of, you know, the House of Representatives in particular, but even further down at the state level, as to whether or not we're going to get a few more states in place with legislatures and governors that'll start to attack this gerrymandering crap that's been going on and restore some of the voter rights, etc. I don't think it'll happen in the South, but maybe in a few other states.
Are you telling me you think that there's an outside chance the House could flip?
Yep.
Because if you're telling me that, I'm thinking you're drinking something through a straw.
Oh, I'm on pretty good drugs.
Well, because you know the thing about the gerrymandering and the voter suppression is that, you know, yeah, Chuck and Dave might not want to flush any more money down the national Republican toilet, but they're getting good value for their dollars. Down on the state level.
Yep, at the moment. But all it's going to take is the House doesn't have to entirely flip. The number of teabaggers, etc., needs to be reduced. Then you get back to some more moderate Republicans that are willing to talk about some compromise legislation. And then you're at a position where Congress might actually be able to do something. Because the overarching thing that's going to come out of all of this is the Republican, et al., the RNC, will look at this and go, we better get our shit together, or we're going to be history in about 10 years, or less. So it doesn't have to be a majority in the House for the Democrats. It's just got to be something that allows those 40 or 50 semi-moderate Republicans to play nicely with some of their Democratic colleagues and pass some friggin' legislation. Stop blocking appointments.
Well, what kind of throws me, Ron, is, for instance, in Talibandiana, you had the controversy over the Carrier move. Are you familiar with this?
No, I'm not.
Well, you know, Carrier heating, cooling, and air conditioning, that kind of...
Oh, yeah, moving to Mexico.
Moving to Mexico. And the story got out that at one point in time, the corporate honchos looked at the union negotiating team and said, look, here's how it is, fellas. In order for us to stay here in Indiana, your rank and file would have to agree to accept $5.85 an hour and no benefits.
Yep.
That takes a lot of nerve. To say that to a person who doesn't even have a union, let alone an organized shop.
People at McDonald's are making more money. Yeah.
It would be illegal. I mean, the minimum wage really is the minimum wage.
Yep.
But that's where we are. And the thing is, they're not. Let's get clear. Carrier is not going to pay $5.85 an hour and no benefits in Mexico where they're going. They're going to pay 75 cents an hour, or maybe $1.12 an hour. And everything else is going to be gravy into the CEO's pockets. And humongous year-end bonuses and retention bonuses and all of that stuff. And yet, somehow or another, in the face of that knowledge, you've still got a bunch of people who went and voted in the Republican primary today instead of voting for the one candidate who says this is a wrong that must be righted. Because, you know, Bernie stood up with the workers at Carrier. So on the Democratic side, how's it even close? I mean, do people just not, I mean, do they lack the ability to want better, or do they lack the knowledge that it can be better? Because if it's the latter, Ron, it means there's a whole lot of people out there who have given up on this country, period.
Well, they're going with their emotions right now. I think people are hurt. By the way, much of Indiana is like southwestern Ohio. It's filled with folks from West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, other southern states that moved up there for the industrial jobs. And it didn't arrive with a lot of credentials. They've worked in factories, and they've got a fairly limited view of the world in many respects.
All they brought with them was their piety.
Yeah.
And that'll go only so far, your piety, your praying, when you're up against a corporation with no soul, no sense of ethics, no sense of morality whatsoever.
Well, corporations are people, obviously Republican.
Republican people.
Yeah.
Damn straight.
But one interesting statistic coming out of the Indiana voting is that Trump right now has as many votes as both Bernie and Hillary together.
Yeah, and that should be causing people
alarm,
to say the least.
Yeah. In any event, I haven't talked to you on the air for 2-3 weeks.
It's been a while.
It has been. I want to find out what you thought of the photos I sent back from the sandbox.
Oh, those were a blast.
Ah,
yeah. Agnes was particularly taken with the ones of the jewelry store.
Yeah, well, yeah. The $250,000 necklaces.
Yeah, she was fond of those.
Yeah, like I said at the time, just sell that Gulfstream. You can buy all sorts of favors and attention with that.
Yeah, but as I noted, you can never get out of a Gulfstream what you've got in it.
Yeah. And I can't imagine what wearing 4 pounds of gold around your neck would do for your ego.
Ego, hell. It's got to be rough on C4 and C5, too.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's just resting on your collarbones and your shoulders, I mean, gold's heavy.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but last April, I called in from beautiful downtown Abu Dhabi.
You did?
And was sort of waxing on about how it didn't match up with Western preconceptions about what it was like in headlopper country. And
Is Mama still amazed you made it home?
Yep, she is. And, oh, there's a side story there I need to tell you. The ladies, my mom and her sister, were in West Virginia, and they were viewing some pictures that my sister was showing them from Abu Dhabi. And One sister seemed to be amazed to find out that Abu Dhabi wasn't in South America.
Really?
Yeah. In any event, one of the guys on the team this trip is from Alberta, Western conservative. 6 months ago, he would have quit if you told him he had to go to the UAE. And gradually he's been pulled into the fold to the point where he agreed to give me the benefit of the doubt. We hadn't been there 2 days, and he says, "I can't believe it. I'm hearing more and better English here than I'm hearing in Ottawa." He said, "This place is so civilized." And now he's talking about bringing his wife over on the next trip, and they're going to tack on a vacation. It's kind of hard to describe the transformation in attitudes, but you can't do it verbally. You just have to actually experience it. And
I mean, sit down, have a cocktail, have a beer by the pool.
Yeah, all of that. And walk into.
Is that because you stayed in the touristy area, or?
No. 90 to 95% of everyone there speaks English. 90 to 92% are expatriates from around the world. The common language is English. Very high educational standards for the Emiratis. And we walked into a market and walked into a grocery store, and we're looking at lamb chops. And the butcher walks up and says, "In absolutely impeccable English. And would there be anything we could do to help you this afternoon, gentlemen?" That's not what you expect in an Arab supermarket.
No, nor is the presence of pork.
No, lamb chops.
I know, but I mean, there were.
You can get pork. Yeah, you can buy pork and real bacon. By the way, turkey and beef. I don't care if they do want to call it bacon; it ain't bacon. But you can buy real. Some of the supermarkets, if you have a card that says you're not a Muslim, you can walk in and buy alcohol and bacon.
And pork. I got to wonder how the bacon is.
Apparently, talking to the expats there, the bacon tends to be thick sliced and very, very top notch. They don't sell crap there. It's really good stuff.
Wow.
I'm not saying it's brought in from Indiana. But it's good stuff.
Or Madison, Tennessee.
Yeah. Smith Farms, I'm not sure they've got a distributor over there, but Smithfield, I think it is. The hams?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to let you go and hopefully raise some more money. And
well, I am proud to say that thanks to Charlene, 20 out of the $50 challenge that's on the table has been met.
Yeah.
So 30 to go. And
I want to give props to our friend Carol Baker.
Absolutely.
Because
any time for any reason, yes.
She has sold a mid-1990s Mercury car to a little old lady who's only going to drive it to church.
In Pasadena on Sundays. As long as it's not raining.
Yeah, but you go get him, Carol.
Yeah, by the way, who mentioned in terms of you telling me to sell the Gulfstream, once you fly them off the lot, they lose half their value.
there's so many comments I could make
it's
there.
True. It's just true.
But it's not just Gulfstreams, Bob.
No, the Lears do the same.
Well, you all take care. I'm on the verge of losing what little voice I've got left. So,
all right. Welcome back.
Yeah.
I trust you get to hang around for a little while now.
Yeah, probably until May, but definitely back over there in the middle of August.
Oh, high summer in Abu Dhabi. Bring the luau shirt and the swim trunks.
Yeah, 54 degrees, I expect.
Celsius.
Yeah.
Which is hot.
That's verging on damn hot, brother.
Yeah, that's pretty close to humans can't live here hot.
Yeah. By the way, one of the travel tips I saw for folks who were new to the UAE, it was a late spring travel tip, it was called. Even if your car is parked in the shade, if you've been away from it more than 15 minutes, put on your gloves before you put on your seatbelt. Because it will be hot enough to burn your fingertips. The only time you see gloves over there is in the summertime, when they have to open their car doors, put on their seat belts, etc.
Wow. Wow.
Not something to hear.
No, but August would it would be tempting to buy a dozen eggs and just see what happens when you crack one on the roof of the car.
No, that's so cliche. That's a cliche.
Yeah, but is it it's cliche, but is it real?
Oh yeah. No. Metal will get up to a car will get up to 180 or 190 degrees of metal sitting in the sun.
Mm.
Mm. Which is why they tend to park them under those little
right, and you know the flowing, billowing white garments kind of begin to make sense.
Oh yeah, going commando. Mm. Mm. Lot to be said for it, and really, really hot weather.
Absolutely. Well, I think you probably need a medicinal dose of Reverend Craig's cough medicine.
I could probably get up to it. I didn't want to thank you for listening to me ramble on.
I'll let you know when you're rambling. You take it easy, Ron. Welcome,
tips, sir.
Welcome back to the unfrozen north.
Oh, it's lovely here today. Green grass, flowers coming up. Everybody's cleaning up their lawns. Ducks in my pool I had to shoo off.
Blizzard day after tomorrow.
Well, probably not a blizzard, but we're not ruling out another snowstorm.
Damn. Yeah,
tremulous sort of defines the attitude right at the moment.
Well, you know, we've got a saying down here, you don't put out your garden until after Mother's Day.
Yep. And up here it is...
Father's Day.
It's what they call Victoria Day, or which is the third weekend of May. After that, it's usually safe to put things up. But I've seen snow flares here in June, so who knows.
Ron, have yourself a good evening.
Well, you go get them, sir.
All right. Bye now. Yeah. Our buddy Ron calling from the far and not quite entirely thawed out north. Let's run over to the stress line and check in with Jim down in Louisiana, Stan. What's happening?
Oh, what's up, Bob? Just watching the, with amazement, the returns come in and realizing all the elections in the Democratic Party, the primaries and whatnot, which seemed to me few, if not many, have been altered or whatnot, you know? I mean, do you have that feeling, too? Or?
Yeah, it's... I feel all kinds of things now. I mean, I don't know who to believe. Video game voting, disenfranchisement... I don't know. Right now, with 20.3% of the vote reporting, Sanders 50.1%, Clinton 49.9%, according to The Guardian.
Well, you know, my stand, I mean, I'm here in Louisiana stand, and I'll probably be here till the election. Well, I think I've got it on good sources. I have a good chance of winning the lottery, in which case I'll be somewhere else. But but seriously, folks, I'll be here all week. That waitress, cocktail waitress especially. But do you hear any birds?
I did. I heard one a minute ago.
Yeah, I'm out on the back porch.
Nice.
It is pretty nice. It's very nice. But you know, if these people, you know, you get control of things. Now, they already got control, but even more control. I mean, it's scary what's going to happen. I mean, it's already happening, but it'll happen even faster and stuff. I mean, from what I've been reading and stuff, and you know, the catchword is "and stuff," but it's it makes me wonder how much longer you know, this will go on. I mean, do you think people will ever kind of? I think people have kind of woken up, and I can see where.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, there's that, you know, there's that number. As many votes for Trump by himself as were cast for Hillary and Bernie together in Indiana.
What's that number?
As many votes were cast for Trump in Tallahassee as were cast for Clinton and Sanders combined. Now, if that doesn't give you the sweats,
they're just like they're doing like they did. And here's the other funny thing to me. Okay, you remember the 2000 election? You're old enough to remember the 2000. That's basically obviously manipulated, slant, stolen, ditto 2004. And yet, the country and the Democrats, they didn't do a goddamn thing to try and, not that they could, I mean, I forget what the House and Senate count was back then, but, yeah, they didn't do anything to try and fix the situation or make the elections more you know, fair or honest. And, I know in a way that could be considered naive. Duh. But it would seem like if your party was winning, you would kind of want to keep them winning. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. But this, I mean... I know that they're a Democrat, you know, the sort of center right, middle of the road, go along, get along Democrats, the Hilarians, who say, oh, she's going to mop the floor with Trump. Not so fast, Bubba.
I don't think so either.
I mean, I recognize the reality of what I'm going to go do next week. I'm going to go and vote for Bernie in my primary, and hopefully he will win the West Virginia Democratic primary. But the vote for Trump will far exceed, once again, the combined votes for Clinton and Sanders. And you can't have that in too awfully many states before whoever the Democratic nominee is in real trouble. And the thing with Hillary Clinton, and this is, you know, I'm not slamming her. There's plenty of stuff I don't like about her. But I'm sticking by my word. I'm going to vote for her in November. If she's the nominee,
I understand, but I understand because of the state you're in and the state I'm in.
But her numbers, but her numbers never go up; they always go down.
Yeah,
I have yet to see Lawrence O'Donnell's observation on that proven wrong.
I believe you. I mean, like I said, state I'm in, there's no problem voting Green Party or, you know, whatever if Bernie isn't the nominee. And I've been permanently pissed off by the Democratic Party, which will probably take. And, you know, it's weird. I mean, I'm a little bit, I'm 3-4 years older than you. I only got 3-4 elections. Maybe I'll get in a lot better health. I'm not doing bad or anything. But if I'm 56, I've got, what, 4-5 elections left, maybe. And I'm just going Green Party. Other than this, because there's not that much difference.
You just don't see any time in the future when when Louisiana Stan is going to come to its senses.
Well, hopefully.
I mean, you elected a Democratic governor, for God's sakes, John Bel Edwards.
Yeah. But even if I was in, you know, in the general election, I could still vote for him. But obviously, my voice has no goddamn fucking meaning. So, fuck it, you know. So, I'm just fed up with it, and I hope, I know the Democrats keep a close ear to what your program, want to get a vibe on the Horn Malloy vote, because they really want to capture that.
We're such a big demographic.
We're cherished, Bob.
Yes. Latest update, as of 3 minutes ago, Sanders 50.4%, Clinton 49.6%, with 25.1% of the vote reporting in Talibandiana.
Sweet, man. That impresses me the hell out of, like, Louisiana Stan and all the southern states. And that's the funny thing about that, and if I'm repeating myself, stop me. But pretty much the South, and I think I've said this before, the South's not going to go Democratic anytime soon.
New.
Hillary or all 12 states. I think there's 12 in the Confederacy. You're all going to be Republican. So you go down, you do some campaigning, you shake some hands, you know. But you don't focus that much on it because it's a lost cause. You know, they've got to know that, you know. But it's like, and then when you watch corporate media, they kind of act like everything's fair and balanced and everything's open. It's like bullshit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll see how it continues to play out. Jim, have yourself a good evening down there. Say hello to the birds.
All right, well, tweet.
Amen to that. All right, take it easy, Jim. Bye now. Our buddy Jim down in Louisiana, Stan. And let's go out to San Diego and check in with Scott and Punky.
Hey, Bob.
What's happening?
Well, Punky is at home. I am right now standing outside the beautiful Target in South Park neighborhood of San Diego, waiting for them to unscrew up my refill on my prescription. So I figured I'd give you a call. So if you hear extraneous noise, that's what all that is.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to run this past you and the other members of the Horn family congregation. The item that you mentioned earlier that Trump was quoting from the National Enquirer about Ted Cruz's papa running around with Lee Harvey Oswald back in the day. Every other instance of this story getting play in the corporate media goes to great lengths to point out that Lee Harvey Oswald was the assassin of John F. Kennedy on the 22nd of November, 1963. I should point out that that's a fallacy, or ought to be a fallacy, simply because he was never tried, never convicted, of course. But there's also the matter of the official story. The Warren Commission said that he fired 3 shots, one of them missed, one of them, the magic bullet, went through Kennedy's neck and into Connally and ended up causing something like 7 wounds and the bullet came out unscathed, virtually unscathed, hence the moniker, the magic bullet. And then the final bullet, of course, blew President Kennedy's head wide open. Well, the fallacy here is if he acted alone, firing three shots, two of which missed, how did the magic bullet wind up leaving more lead in John Connolly's body than was missing from the bullet itself? That indeed qualifies as magic, okay? Never mind it was unscathed, but it literally left more lead fragments in Governor Connolly than are missing from the bullet. So this nonsense about Oswald being the assassin, I think that's still a wide open question. And I'm glad that Jim preceded me because I know his daddy tried his best to bring some light onto that case. And I've always admired him and by extension Jim because anybody who has sense enough to have Jim Garrison as a father is a wonderful human being in my book.
Hear, hear.
So, I mean, I don't know, how old were you when President Kennedy was killed?
I was 9 months old.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I remembered. I have very, very vivid memories of that entire weekend. I was 9 years old going to a Catholic school in Alexandria, Virginia, just outside of D.C. And the teacher came, the principal came on the PA system and said, our president's been shot. And we all prayed our little Catholic butts off to no avail. But, yeah, I have followed that case ever since I was nine. Hell, I read the 800-page summation of the Warren Report a year later when it came out, and I saw it then as the biggest freaking work of fiction since Bambi.
Are you still there, Scott?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, okay.
And here's the other thing. I quoted the Warren Report as being the official story. Back in the late 70s, there was a House Assassinations Committee that came up with a second official story. And their second official story was such that there was a high probability of more than one person shooting that day. So which official story are you going to believe is what it comes down to.
Well, I think it goes without saying that the vast majority of the American people are not satisfied with the answer that they were given by the Warren Commission and still think that there's more to be found out. So what is more novel out of all of this, Scott, is the fact that somehow or another T-Rump figured out a way to inject it into the campaign, and of course it had its desired effect. Because it made Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eaten future king of America, come completely unglued at every seam.
Well, yeah, and that
I mean,
was
this guy. This guy's going to be talking into brown paper bags before long.
Well, the fact that we got a little humor out of it is definitely the upside. Anything to rattle Rafael's cage is aces with me. But I just wanted, whenever somebody in the media talks about Oswald being the lone assassin, I have to call bullshit simply because of the reasons I gave. And that's just one of the reasons. There is a book, in case anybody would like to see it, two books, actually. One is by Jim DiEugenio, and it's called, I think it's called, God, I can't remember what it's called, but it came out a couple of years ago, and if you look on Amazon under Jim DiEugenio, it's a revised edition of a previous book that he did, which will clear up any confusion that anybody might have. And another excellent book is by a woman named Joan Mellon called, Jesus, well, Justice is in the title, and it's all about the Garrison case and how the media tried to obscure what little truth he was able to dig out back in the late 60s. So if you look up Joan Mellon and and Jim DiEugenio on Amazon. Search around, and you'll find both books, neither of which is titled, I can remember, because I'm not at home. I could look on my bookshelf. But anyway, I wanted to pass that by you and the rest of the crew, just simply to keep the record honest.
Well, I'm glad you did, and I don't know, at some future point, maybe we'll have a larger discussion of that issue, you know, outside of simply trying to make Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz anointed booger eating future king of America hoot like a barn owl.
Well, in closing, I will say this. In the months leading up to the assassination, there was quite a bit of interesting dynamics going on with Oswald. And I've always said, and I think Jim Garrison also said, that if anything, he was the patsy that he said.
Oh, that's
he
what
was.
Oswald himself said. I'm a patsy.
Yeah. But there are a lot of U.S. intelligence shenanigans. Hell, going back to when he supposedly defected to Russia in the late 50s, he being Oswald. So if I think of the name of that book when I get home, I'll email it to you, and you can mention it tomorrow because I'm going to be out for a couple more hours.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Scott, thanks for checking in.
Okay, and you take care. And if Punky, if you're listening at home, don't torment the cat. And
you leave the horn on for Punky when you leave.
Oh yes, it's the only thing that keeps him remotely sane.
Yeah, you don't want an insane cockatiel running around, flapping around.
Well, I learned the hard way with the cat and the bird that I had to unplug the telephones. And also hide the TV remote because they would order up pay per view, and then also order up half catnip and half birdseed pizzas.
Oh,
and going broke.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, and then the birdseed and the catnip kicks in, and it's just a mess.
Wait a minute. I think it's time to go get my prescription.
All right, Scott. You take care.
Okay, man. Take care.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Calling from sunny San Diego. That's our buddy, Scott. And let's see. I had a few people trying to check in on the on line one there and on the Skype line, 304-574-8178, when Ron and then Scott were on. So you're free to jump in. Let me see if I can get the audio going on this. Bernie's speaking in Lexington, Kentucky, because they have their primary 2 weeks from today. Let's see if we can get the audio going. Might be a little dodgy.
Has done to this country.
Come on. We can do this. And again, we've got $30 to go on Ace's Titanic Untelect challenge, upside down on the table. Naturally, because, you know, Titanic. Overall, we have a $340 fundraising goal for the evening. This is how we keep independent broadcasting going. Okay, so that's not working. Let me try this. Maybe we'll do a little better. New York Post cover is out. Trump romps in Indiana, all but clinching nomination. Who's your daddy? Yeah. All right, let's see how the feed is here.
Highest prices in the world for medicine. When we end up paying far, far more per capita for health care than do the people of any other major country.
Really? must be a lot of people watching this.
It's the time for us to go forward and pass a Medicare for all single payer program. Now, I want you to think for a moment, and this is thinking outside of corporate TV. It's thinking outside of the status quo. Think what that means for America. It means that anybody in this country who gets sick goes to the doctor when they need to go. It means that if you get seriously ill, you have an accident, you run up a big hospital bill, you're not going to go bankrupt. And this is what it also means, which is pretty revolutionary. It means that right now in America, we have millions of people doing jobs that they really do not want to do, but they're staying on those jobs because they may have a decent health insurance plan for their families. Think what happens to America when we unleash the entrepreneurial spirit of this country. When millions of people can go out, start businesses, and know that they will have health insurance for themselves and their families.
Doesn't sound like a man who is giving up on his campaign. Let's check in with Will in Chicago. Hey, Will.
Hi, Bob. Greetings from glorious Northwest Indiana, Stan, where we are still secretly hoping there will be a movement to allow us to succeed to Illinois because the rest of the state doesn't want us anyways except for the occasional tax revenue from what remains of our industrial base.
Well, I tell you what, it's an interesting map to look at. I've been watching the county by county map. Poor Rafaelito Cruz has won precisely three counties in Tallahassee. It's 51.6% Bernie to 48.4% Hillary on the Democratic side. I misspoke a little bit. At present, Trump has 246,600 votes. Between them, Bernie and Hillary have... you know how I am with the cipher and the gazette is 243,000 votes between them.
Right. Are you using the Guardian website with the animated figures?
Oh, yes, absolutely. They're just cute as hell.
Oh, yes, definitely. So we'll see if Bernie can win. I voted for him, and there was a high turnout at my polling place at a local elementary school. Normally, one of the guys outside, they get 160 by the time I showed up around 3 Central. They said they had already gotten 200. But I think what's important to remember is that Bernie is committed to being in this till the convention. Even if he doesn't think he can win, he wants to at least shape the process. Why? Because he is prepared to think long-term, which is a great strength, but is very unusual in American politics. Because if he doesn't become the nominee and Clinton gets in, guess what? You will need a movement. If Clinton botches everything up and we have either President Trump, President Cruz, or President Paul Ryan, that movement's going to be needed more than ever. It's just that I have deep reservation about Hillary Clinton on several levels, one of which is her skill as a candidate. Because
you just said a mouthful.
Yes, because does anyone remember her race for the New York Senate seat? Because I do. And the guy she ran against, my thought was, could the Republicans have picked at least someone who could at least fake being empathetic, fake being charismatic, and fake having better manners than...
It seems like she always has to run training wheels campaigns.
Yes, and guess what? The Republicans are willing to play for keeps, because if they get their guy in the White House, it's called, they will try to get pack the Supreme Court as much as they can, limit voting rights even further, and pretty much we already see Trump and Cruz and company surrounding themselves with George W. Bush's and Dick Cheney's advisors on foreign policy and other stuff. Trump has said he will ask the Heritage Foundation for recommendations for justices. So, I mean, if Hillary is the nominee, I'll support her, though without great enthusiasm. But it's just that if she didn't have her name, I don't know how far she would have gone if she had just been a senator from New York and a secretary of state.
Well, I mean, look at the Appalachia gaffe, okay?
Yes.
We are deep into the primary process, okay, Will?
Yes, week away.
And so there she is in March saying, we're going to put a lot of coal miners out of work. And yes, it was taken out of context, or it was taken without the context that she was thinking about when she said it, or whatever the excuse is. And she's still walking it back, and it doesn't get any better.
No, I mean, a better politician would have said there's some concerns that long run coal will leave Appalachia, so this is why we have to have a plan in place to make sure that every family that has someone working in a coal mine will, in case the coal companies pull out, will be able to have meaningful jobs to support their family with dignity. We already know that some of the hardest working Americans live in Appalachia, and I'll be the last person to let them down. You know, something, you know, simple statement like that off the top of my head. Now that, I mean, I'm sure that could be spun negatively.
Well, but, I mean, but look, here's the problem, Will. When we talk about Appalachia, we keep saying, you know, we're going to trans, you know, we need solar panel factories and wind farms. And we do.
Yeah.
Okay. But everybody is talking about coal going away. And that's the biggest lie in the whole thing.
No.
What's happened is underground coal mining jobs have gone away, and they have gone away as much or more because of mountaintop removal as because of market declines or getting their ass handed to them by frack gas, okay? Mountaintop removal doesn't need many workers.
No. All the
people who have been laid off are underground miners. They're still blasting the bejesus out of Appalachia.
Exactly, and they will as long as they can think of an economic reason to do so. Unless, of course, regulations come in and we have all the externalities taxed. But I think Clinton's great weakness is what her husband could do automatically with barely a thought. She has to kind of struggle like someone lifting 500 pounds. I mean, she's not a natural politician, and I fear that the Republicans have had, good heavens, 24 years to try to prepare for her. This is one of my worries, simply because they will be utterly vicious. You will have the Vince Foster whisper campaign. You will have the dredging up of the, hey, didn't Bill have drug lights coming into Arkansas, and every other dirty trick. And I'm not sure Clinton is able to fight that and at the same time win over people, because she's not doing well with the independents. The millennials particularly see her as an unattractive candidate. And unfortunately, in the case of Trump, you have the flim-flam man. In the case of Cruz, you have the man who would be Messiah. And you have the Koch brothers and friends willing to spend all their campaign cash on that. And this is what I worry. I think Bernie has to fight for the nomination, at least so there can be a more attractive platform. Because as another radio host I listen to in the morning has pointed out, right now, Donald Trump can run to left of Hillary Clinton on trade. Let me repeat this. Right now, Donald Trump can run to left of Hillary Clinton on trade because Trump at least is criticizing the trade deals in concept. And Hillary says, well, I don't like the wording of this one. This is going to be a big problem because for a lot of Americans, recovery hasn't come. I'm doing what I can to get ahead, and I'm certain in the long run I will be fine. A lot of other people won't. I mean, there's entire communities where prosperity has not come back. Although if you do have a little of your own prosperity, the horn could use your donations and would particularly do well with a monthly subscriber.
Amen. And I need to thank Gerald for getting us closer to meeting Aces Challenge. We're now only $20 away on that.
If 10 people give $2, that should meet it. The key thing is I will be opposed to what the GOP tries to pull in November, but a lot of people are not inspired by Hillary Clinton, and she's going to have to address the problems in her campaign. I think if she does emerge, and chances are statistically she will, but in politics anything can happen. If she does emerge as a winner, she's going to need a lot of heavy lifting from everyone else around her.
She's going to need the Sanders supporters, whom her supporters have so vociferously sneered at for these many long months now. Those dreamy-eyed millennials. She's got to have them.
Probably a charlatan and a con man who is stealing money from people so stupid they deserve it. Yes, I have seen those sorts of faces.
So are you in that most upper northwest county of Indiana? What is that, Lake County?
Lake County, just over the line. I could literally, with a good half-hour walk into Illinois. The town I live in, Hammond, parts of it, the northern parts, are adjacent to Chicago.
Well, they're showing that as being in Hillary's corner.
Well, that's probably, in part, it's an odd county because you have areas as diverse and wealthy as different from each other as wealthy Munster, one of the top towns in the state and school districts, and Gary, which, how would I say it, Gary has never recovered from the outsourcing of our job. So, I mean, there's a lot of Hillary supporters. I mean, it's really not a liberal area per se, but it's pretty solidly Democratic.
These numbers are distressing. Right at 300,000 Democratic votes.
Oh, hold on. Yes, I'm
right at 300,000 Democratic votes in Indiana. 550,000 Republican votes.
Yes.
Total.
Well, here's the thing. I joke about the area I live in is we're not really thought of as being part of Indiana by most of the rest of the state is. We're more influenced by Chicago. In fact, the six-county region I'm in is actually on the central time zone because for us it makes sense. But I think what we're going to have to see is if Hillary does become the nominee, she's going to have to come up with a lot of compromises to appeal to the Sanders supporters, and she's going to have to figure out how to appeal to the independents, because Trump is the new flavor in town. And I think a lot of people are attracted to what's new and shiny. Mind you, there's enough things in Trump's record to trip him up if the media actually reports it. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. Well, here's the larger problem nationally, Will.
Yeah.
In most of the states where a Democrat has a fighting chance of winning in November, Hillary and Bernie are pretty evenly split.
Right.
Except for it was close in New York. It was close in Pennsylvania. She won by a pretty decent margin in Ohio, but she lost huge in Wisconsin, in Minnesota, in Colorado. She lost huge in Washington, and Arizona was just a damn nightmare.
Yep.
Once you excise the Confederacy, then the country's pretty evenly split on who they want the Democratic nominee to be. And, yep. and that should be troubling to any of her campaign strategists, because the Democrats who gave her that early lead in the South are not going to give her any Southern states.
No, the South is about likely to go Democratic, as I'm about to shake change into the Martian Manhunter, meaning only in the movies. The problem Hillary faces is she really, really does not seem to be attracting the independents. And if she does not handle things well coming up in the next few months, she may end up alienating a lot of the people she needs. I mean, I still think it's possible Bernie can pull things off, although the odds are against it. But I prefer Bernie to fight simply because if we emerge with a more progressive platform and maybe someone decent as a VP, maybe Sherrod Brown to help with Ohio, then perhaps Hillary can rebrand herself a bit. But it's just that this shouldn't be so close. I mean, what might ironically save us is I don't see the GOP being all that unified, because some people are going to be dissatisfied and stay at home. But that's not something I would like to count on. It's like counting on that bag you're reaching for and putting on your back as the airplane is going down is indeed a fully functioning parachute instead of Wile E. Coyote's knapsack.
Exactly. Like I said, it's that Wile E. Coyote moment with Carly Fiorina, where she sort of hung in the air for a minute and then and fell from the... I'm sorry, it probably hurt, and I'll probably go to hell for... But I laughed. I did.
Well, how would I say it?
But then again, she got $40 million to just leave Hewlett-Packard, so I think she can probably afford the hospital bill.
And if you notice, it does continue the tradition of falling down on the job.
Ooh, nice.
Yes, but, I mean, we should not, for those of us supporting Senator Sanders, we should not despair, because if you think about it, considering where he came from, considering that he has had to fight against and different media and a campaign run by one of the best known names on the planet, meaning you could go to most major city in the world and ask who Hillary Clinton is, and you chances are in the first 10 to 20 people you'll get an answer. Considering that Senator Sanders started so far back, his team has nothing to be ashamed of, and there's still a chance he may pull it off. It won't be easy, but at the very least, he has made a difference. And one thing I've been thinking about is someone you said your grandfather voted for, Al Smith. Al Smith did not win in 1928. But he also helped set things up so that
FDR could.
FDR could. So, I mean, if I, I'm
the, trying the problem, though, is that we had to have a Herbert Hoover in the interim.
That's the problem. And I'd like to say I'd prefer not to have to go through any Republican president or, and even if Hillary does get in, here's the thing, progressives will have to be pressing a tooth and nail to get things done and have her not listen to the DLC, and it'd be a constant battle. That's a battle I'd rather have than President Trump deciding to try to eliminate the Voting Rights Act entirely.
And that's a possibility.
Yes, because let's face it.
And what scares me is the guy who, the guy Merrick Garland. I don't have a lot of confidence in him to if he was to be confirmed to do anything from a so-called liberal judicial standpoint. That ain't Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
No, I mean he is preferable to Scalia or Alito, but the problem is.
I don't think he's ever taken a criminal defendant's side in a criminal appeal.
No, I've never heard of that happening. And saying Spencer Scalia and Alito is setting the bar very low, perhaps not to the level of an earthworm on the floor of Death Valley, Nevada, but still, that's a very low bar. And once again, I think we are living a Chinese curse. May we live in interesting times. But how it turns out in part depends on us. So I would say to those listening, don't lose hope. Regardless of how things turn out in the next few months, be active, care, work locally, work nationally, and globally if you can. And if you can, send some spare change to the horn and other good causes, do so. Because we have to remember we can make a difference. I think that's something that, regardless how this all turns out, many would want to remind us that we do have power, because this is the thing that I think the Koch brothers, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, are most terrified. That one day the American people will wake up and realize we are strong.
Hear, 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 hear. Will, have yourself a good evening. I appreciate all the kind words.
Thanks. Be well.
All right, you too. Bye now. Our buddy Will in Indiana, not really Chicago, but it's kind of runs together, I think. Let's see. Bernie, with 45.3% of the vote tallied, has expanded his lead over Hillary to around 14,000 votes, 52.2% to 47.8%. And he's going on to, I hope he sticks by his word and takes it all the way to the convention, because there's a conversation that needs to take place. There needs to be a little bit of, needs to be a little bit of tough love in regard to the South. And, you know, I can say this because I'm Southern. The South is deeply flawed. But it has some. It has its own magnificence, and somebody needs to look at the South and say, you know, listen, unless you can stand here and say you can deliver your state for Hillary in November, y'all just need to kind of take a breather here, because the rest of the country is pretty evenly split over who they want. And if you want to win in November, Hillary's not the answer. And that makes me sad, and that's scary. But this is when the vote and Indiana is by no means an anomaly. There are other states that are going to be like this, where the Republican turnout is much more than the Democratic turnout. By the way, we have met, thank you very kindly, to Gerald and to Jason and to Steve. We have met ACES challenge, and that mean, and a little bit more even. And that means, let's see, we've got $220 to go in fundraising on the evening, 220. One at 220, two at 110, four at 55, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, eight at 2750. Okay. And by the way, a little news update, if you're in the West Virginia area, Bernie is going to be apparently in McDowell County, West Virginia, and then in Charleston around 3 o'clock on Thursday. And it's all RSVP. The Morgantown event is already, I guess, booked solid. But if you're near Morgantown, by all means, try. I'm thinking seriously about trying. I don't know. I kind of hate to miss the program here. But it's possible I might come howling back up the road and get here on time. Let's go talk to Charlie in Tennessee. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, how's it going?
What's happening?
Hello?
Yeah, you're there.
Nothing much. I'm just driving in from work. Last night, well, I got off about 1 o'clock this morning yesterday. So, I was listening to your show today, and you know, it's kind of disheartening to see all the people that are voting for Hillary. But I think what needs to happen is we can all hold on. I'm not sure that we can, because times will get bad. Is just you know, if Hillary or Trump gets elected, then you know, all the people that are going to face hard times, just tell them, say, "Hey, you had your chance and you blew it." And you know,
well, that's why I keep saying that these are IQ tests, not just elections.
And I all these people that work for Carrier, that their job's going to Mexico, they're probably going to be voting for Trump.
God help them if they do. How are they going to get how are they going to get those jobs back through Trump's wall?
I don't know. I don't think Trump's going to build a wall. Trump is a Republican. And you know, and Hillary Clinton's a Republican, and Hillary has already told us that we cannot live as isolationists. So she's going to try to export jobs. And Trump's going to try to export jobs, and you're screwed either way you go.
Kind of feels just, that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's just very disheartening. And, you know, it's people look the way they voted before the Great Depression, before they voted for FDR. You know, they bought
into that chicken in every pot thing, didn't they?
Yep. Basically, whenever the economy failed, you know, there was a few more bad years, and they said, you know, we'd better change here and vote for Roosevelt. So, you know, it's, I guess people just are not hungry enough yet, and they need to get hungry.
Well, you know, there's a lot of cynicism in it. In that old saying that when the belly rumbles, the head can learn.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe in addition to cynicism, maybe there's truth.
And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, Hillary's got connections. She can do more for us. And, yeah, Hillary's got connections. That's why Hillary's at the place she's at. But she's not going to do anything for anybody. Hillary is going to be out for Hillary. And that's it. I mean, your daughter, you look at it, your daughter's making $500 million a year. Something's wrong. Something is where there's smoke, there's fire.
Well, I mean, I don't like the fact that she and Bill have a shell corporation with a post office box in the same building as Trump over in Wilmington, Delaware. Okay?
Yep.
Now, granted, the horn here, we've got a post office box in the same building
that the Klan has a post office box. So that doesn't make us the same thing. So, okay, I got that part. But we're not talking about a shell corporation. The Clintons created a shell corporation to pass their speaking fees through. And if you're a populist Democrat, Charlie, you don't do that.
And also, you've got the Clinton Foundation. That's nothing more than a money laundering scheme. It's, you know, it's sad to say that, but, you know, it operates under the guise of helping, you know, other countries, other underdeveloped countries. But, you know, you take care of your own first. I'm sorry. And if there's anything left over, then you help other people.
And you know what scares me the most is, like I said at the beginning of the program, Charlie, the news broke today that a Navy SEAL was killed up north of Mosul. In fighting against ISIS. He was there as an advisor for Kurdish defenders. But have we ever seen a war that Hillary didn't want to get in? Now, she sat there in the pageants and said that she wanted a no-fly zone over Syria. So that means she wants to get in. She wants to get down and boogie with the Russians.
And the bad part about it is Barack Obama is exactly the same way.
Well, but I mean, Barack Obama has resisted some of that urge. But Hillary always has to be the toughest human being in the room. And I think some of that has to do with the gender dynamics that she has to deal with. But some of it has to do with the fact that she's a protege of Henry fucking Kissinger.
Yep. And, you know, in the Middle East, if we were to go to Netanyahu and we were to say, look, our donations, the memorandums of understanding that were signed back in 1975, all that's through. We're not going to help support you anymore. You're going to have to fend for yourself. And the Zionists and these Arab extremists, you know, they would certainly they would come up with the idea of, hey, we better settle this out or we're going to be throwing rocks at each other. And they would probably learn to get along together.
Well, you'd like to hope, but you know what I mean? Hope in one hand.
Yeah. I mean, we're selling the Arab countries. We're selling them arms. We're propping up the Israeli government. It's kind of like what's going on in Chechnya with the Russians. The Russians are selling the Chechens weapons to keep the war going between Chechnya and Russia. And I think the same thing's happening over in the Middle East.
Oh, look, the rise of fascism, and, you know, how many times have Angry and I talked about this? The rise of fascism in Europe is frightening. I don't know which side to come down on this referendum in the UK on whether to get out of the European Union. Boris, what's his name, the mayor of London, has staked his political fortunes on getting out. Oh, my God. Well, as Europe has proven throughout its so-called civilized existence, they can always find a way to bloody up the place.
Yeah. And the bad part about it is I would love to see the day that Angry Indian is alive. But you'll never see that. I mean, he is exposing what's going on in this country. We need to clean that up and get rid of it. And we're not going to do it.
That's the scary part of it.
You know, this country would be a wonderful place if we could make Angry Indian alive. It's not. It's telling the truth. And until we get rid of what all that Angry Indian is saying, we're all going to be in one heck of a fix.
It's hard to argue with that.
You know, if more people would listen, you know, they would. And, you know, I mean, I think he's probably one of the most honest people in the world. And for some reason, people won't listen. And he tells it like it is.
Well, they don't necessarily want to be told like it is. They want a sugar tit, okay? And they want bombast. They want excitement. They want what they've been trained by so-called reality television to identify with.
Well, I'll tell you a secret. I think I've got 3 TVs, and they're on rabbit ears right now because I got really hacked off with Comcast. And some of the things Comcast were doing. I just quit watching TV. I have probably one of those TVs hasn't been on since my brother was here. And it's been a year and a half ago. I just don't watch TV anymore.
What's to watch?
Yeah.
Hey, Charlie, good talking to you, my friend. I hope we will talk again soon.
Okie doke. Thanks.
All right. Bye. See ya. Bye now. Our buddy Charlie calling from the wilds of Tennistan. And meanwhile, could it be? Is it Tracy?
Yes, it is.
It is Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
So I was just listening to Mr. Raffaelito King, whatever you call him. He just said that there was a contested convention 4 years ago. Was that for that Ronald Reagan spoke? Wasn't Ronald Reagan dead already?
I think so. No, he was talking about the contested convention of 1976.
I know, but he said 4 years ago.
Well, he's coming unglued. Jack and Shreveport just sent me a note saying NBC News reporting Cruz is suspending his campaign.
Yeah. And what about Kasich? Why has Kasich just sat down somewhere? I'm just wondering.
Can you turn down whatever's in the background, Tracy?
I am so sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I totally forgot I was at home. I need to be in my car.
I just want everybody to hear you.
Did Kasich, has he dropped out yet?
No. He says he's in it to win it.
Oh. Okay.
So I'm watching this cute little animation over at The Guardian, and they just rolled out Ben Carson. Ben Carson is carrying a county in Talibandiana.
Well, I know it's too late for more on Monday, but I'm watching the news here, and apparently out here in California, we have some real idiots. It's called hashtag freeway challenge. And, there's kids getting out of cars and skateboarding on busy freeways.
Say what?
You heard me. I didn't stutter.
No, you didn't. Where do we live?
I'm watching. I turned up and they're videoing it. See, this is what tickles me. They video this shit, and it's like, really, dudes? You're on that, you know. So you're on the freeway and you're videoing it, and you don't think that you're not going to get caught. Where are we living, Bob?
that's like the kid, I don't know if you saw this or not, the kid in, I guess, Arizona. He's 19 years old now. He has been charged with, and I'm not kidding, 69 counts of indecent exposure.
What?
Because in the football team photograph, he flipped his junk out and nobody noticed. The photo was taken last fall. It appeared in every football program throughout the season. It was published, and the yearbook was yearbooks were distributed to students. And now the school said, "You got to give us back the yearbooks. The photos have to be corrected."
That's not going to happen.
And so, 69 counts of indecent exposure and 1 count of furnishing harmful material to minors. Although he didn't furnish the material. The school board did. The school administration did.
They don't have editors here? But...
Oh, God. Earther tells me Cruz is talking right now. Ronald Reagan, puppies, apple pie, enduring freedom, and a kitten in every pot. That's what America stands for.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's basically it. See, this is what I love about California, because they let them talk for a little while, and then they chase it to another, to whatever else. They're like, okay, he stopped, and we're there talking with Nick A.M.
But Ron, up in the thawing north, made one observation, that he's trying to reinvent himself as Reagan for the next election. That he'll have a political, or you know, I think it's more like Nixon. You know, Nixon waited until 68, and then, you know, I'm back.
Are we talking 2020? Is he going to try to shit?
God, he's been anointed, Tracy. God has told him he's going to be president.
Well, Glenn Beck always said that, didn't he? So, in a hollering and a hooping and a whooping.
Let's see. But Ron does make this observation. Cruz simply can't get it through his head that most voters, especially Republicans, really don't like him and would rather vote for Hillary.
Uh-huh.
That's I guess that's a bitter pill to have to swallow.
He doesn't get it. He's so, that whole thing about the Bible passage that Glenn Beck was reading earlier in your program about, you know, love of themselves, this and this and this and that. I said, well, goddamn it, he just described the Republican Party.
Bingo.
he really just did. Those things that I I listen, and about his Ralph Alito's father Bill. Maybe he meant Guillermo.
Yeah, Guillermo. Right?
Because I wanted to say that. I wanted to text you that, but I was driving, and I just didn't want to get a ticket. But when you were talking about Bill, I'm like, oh my God, maybe he met Guillermo.
Yeah, that would, yeah, right. Yago. I mean, isn't that James?
Jaime.
Jaime, no. yeah, that could, yeah, right. Think,
yeah, but no, because Guillermo basically translates to William.
Yeah, that's right.
They have him back on the TV. I'm so glad you had me mute my television.
Well, and by the way, 53.7% reporting in Talibandiana, Bernie 196,807, Hillary 176,280.
Mm-hmm.
Now, get this. That's 53.7% of Democrats. 52.9% of Republicans have reported in. And there are a total of 373,087 Democratic votes. There are a total of 717,638 Republican votes.
Yeah. You gave me that when I heard those numbers, I was driving. At that point, I was at the DMV. Oh, hey, it's official. I am now officially a disabled person. I got my placard today.
Well, now. How are you going to celebrate?
Well, the celebrating is me sitting on my couch and raising my feet. But it was actually kind of neat to pull into Trader Joe's and actually find a parking space.
Well, that's what I mean. Okay. I mean, you get the happening parking space now, right?
It's so funny because I swore that I was never, I didn't think I was going to have to actually use it. But the other day when I got out of the car, my legs were so, especially his mother crying. Aww. I'm sorry. Is his mother alive? Because there's some dark skinned people standing behind him. Is that his family? And there's a little old lady sitting in looks probably like a wheelchair. And because we're talking about Cruz.
I don't know. And
his mother has curls.
Well, the question is, have they put Glenn Beck on suicide watch? I would advise them not to.
Even if Glenn Beck was saying he was gonna, you know, don't, just don't.
Glenn Beck, why? You know, until you mentioned his name earlier, I totally forgot about him.
Yeah, sorry.
These people are actually crying. They
are crying for our country. They are crying for America, Tracy. Because we are being delivered into the hands of the Abyss One.
Well, you know, like you said about...
If you're a political candidate and you say if the other guy wins, we're going into the Abyss, how do you take that seriously?
That's not bipartisanship, is it?
It's not even sane.
I'm sitting here and, you know, I'm watching the facial expressions. I'm looking at the brown skin, the people that are probably, you know, does Ted Cruz have siblings?
I don't know.
Because that would
mean Mr. and Mrs. Cruz had to have sex more than once. And the one time that they had it is enough to just put me off my kibble for a month of Sundays.
Well, I'm pretty sure you're gonna watch this later. Maybe if this is dad that's hugging him, and he looks, it looks like dad is crying. People are crying. Oh, everybody's all upset. Everybody's all upset. It's terrible. I feel so bad. You're gonna have to watch this later on.
Preferably with a gin and tonic in hand.
Yeah, you know, and a very tall one.
Yes. And a very, yes. Very, that's one. I've got these glasses that were made for German Kolsch, but they are also perfect gin and tonic glasses.
Yeah, you got to drink that because you know he just hugged. Well, they just broke the commercial, so they hugged Harley. Oh, that was a funny ass pratfall. I saw that shit. Holy cow!
Okay, so I'm not the only part. You're going to hell with me because you laugh too.
Look, you're talking to the person who watched Dancing with the Stars the season that I guess was her name, Heather Mills, or Paul McCartney's ex-wife, was dancing, but she had the prosthesis, and yes, I watched purposely to see if her prosthesis would fall off while she was dancing.
I feel better. I feel so much better.
She feel better. Feel better. I admitted it freely. I'm a terrible, heartless person. But I am.
That she was just there, and then she wasn't there.
I know. And it was hilarious because they were talking. Because I get the email from the Daily Cause, and the shit said, "Did you see the one when Carly Fiorina fell and the Tyler Cruz family ignored her?" And so I had to open it up, and like you said, she was there. And after she gave, I didn't hear the song. They just cut to when she was talking. About the future.
You didn't hear the singing?
No, they didn't cut. I guess they cut.
Oh,
they cut
you gotta go
out.
Back and watch the singing. I mean, it granted, your ears will bleed, but
no, come on, Bob.
About how they have snuggle time on the bus.
Ew. Gross.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm betting Cruz's kids. You know. It's one long game of Where's Waldo with them, just trying to keep them from being, you know, hustled out for a little bit of, a little bit of exploitation. You've seen the video of the one kid just turning away when daddy goes to, oh, yuck.
Yeah, it's like, look, if your old kids don't like you.
Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa is trying to tease us, Tracy. I just got a message from Brother Deacon Asa saying, "This just in, Glenn Beck found dead in his motel room in Gary, Indiana." And then he put up the smiley face. And I said, "That's just mean teasing me like that."
Is he right? You know, why are you going to mess with my emotions? I'm a sick woman. I can't take, you know, I'm not long for this. back to those things about those numbers you were saying about how... Even combined, the numbers between Hillary and Bernie combined did not outweigh or outmatch the numbers of the Republican voters. which means still more Republicans. But then again, how much does that have to do with gerrymandering?
You and gotta wonder, like don't you?
Mm-hmm. And voter suppression. How much of, I mean, if people who were actually allowed to probably really vote could vote, what would those numbers look like?
Rather different, I'm suspecting, aren't you?
Yeah. Again, Bob, I'm doing that thing, you know, I'm channeling Marvin, and it makes me want to holler, throw up both of my hands. We sit here and we're in, you know, they talk about us, you know, if the Democrats win or what have you, talk about the abyss. What the hell is it going to be if Trump wins? Because he is going to be the Republican nominee.
Well, but what I said at the beginning of the program, I stand by. This really says something about the power of the evangelical right, because if Cruz couldn't do it in Indiana, then the evangelicals are on the wane.
Yay. Get it right, Bob. It's evil genitals.
Evil genitals. That's even better.
Yeah, because I remember if I say evangelicals too fast, it sounds like evil genitals.
Because it is.
Well, because, and I think that's what's wrong with them. The genitals are evil.
Well, all genitals are evil.
Right, because what did Glenn Beck say about the trans, you know, with the dilly bob? What did he call it, Dennis? The dilly, what did he call it? If, you know, dude, if you still have the what did he say?
Thingamajig.
Down there,
the,
yeah,
the thingamajig. Still, yeah, thingamajig.
I think dilly bob is better. I think dilly bob. It just says more because you're diddling it, people with it, and never mind. I'm about to go out on.
Okay, one off topic. Did you get a kick out of President Obama's one-liners the other night?
Yes.
If this material works, I'm going to use it at Goldman Sachs next year and earn me some serious Tubmans.
Yes.
I mean, say whatever, you know, we can't, we're not entirely thrilled with him because he wasn't progressive enough to suit us.
But the man's got
a future in stand up. Whoever's doing that writing, if he can take the team with him, he can have the country in stitches.
He's hilarious. But my favorite part was Obama out, and he dropped the mic.
Oh no, my favorite part was I'm late because I was on CPT, which stands for something white people should never even talk about.
But no, Larry Wilmore, you did it, my nigga.
They're still having babies over that. What's his name? The snooty guy who didn't do a very good job filling in for Larry King. The only worthwhile thing he ever did was showing us all what an Alex Jones meltdown looked like. He had a conniption over that word. But in an act of sublime irony, I heard about this movie and I watched it on Netflix. And it's a German film. And Agnes and I watched it last night, and it's called Look Who's Back.
I've never heard of it.
Neither had I.
It's on Netflix, so that means I can watch it.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix. Okay.
And the premise is that in the space where his body was burned, Adolf Hitler wakes up in 2014 in Germany. And it's about halfway a comedy. And if you want funny, he becomes very, very popular as an ironic comic act on TV.
Seriously.
And there's this one scene where he's talking to a group of supporters and he says, "Yo, my niggas."
No. Well, I'm going to have to watch this. Who's in it?
Nobody you'd know. I mean, it's subtitled. It's all in German. But it comes across with a pretty tough lesson at the end.
Okay. Sounds like Western IQ.
And so I saw that at the same time that I had talked about the lady at the Washington press gaggle, at the White House press gaggle, having a conniption over Larry Wilmore earlier in the day. I'm like, oh, the goddess of irony works in mysterious ways.
Well, see, here's the thing. Like you know, he said, you know, I'm on CP time, you know, because, and that's something that white people should never say. And it's like, they even had the guy, Kenya Barris, the guy who created the writer for Black-ish. And they had him on TMZ. Don't ask me why I was watching TMZ last time. I fell asleep and I woke up and it was on. Do not judge me.
Okay. Only God can judge you, because that's what
only
the
God can judge.
That's what the Mandarin tattoo on the back of your neck says, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Kenya Barris was like, you know, he's like, you know, again, these are those things. And there was actually an episode of Black-ish about the N word, about, you know, who can and cannot say it. And the last scene, because what happened, the younger kid was doing a talent show, and he was singing Gold Digger. And, you know, and one of the lines, he don't want no broke niggas. And he said the N word at the, and the white people lost their minds, and they were going to expel him.
Yeah, I saw that episode. Yeah.
Right. And he's like, and like Anthony Anderson said, you white people have been schizophrenic for ever since we've been here about what to call us. You know, but this is, we've earned the right, and we're the only ones that can say it. And don't get it twisted.
Right. And Larry, you know, Wilmore went so far as to say, look, it's about re-empowering and taking the word back. And I just, you know, I don't like it.
And I don't like the word either, but I don't like it
with an ER on the end or with an A on the end. I mean, because, you know, I'm white folks. I have no right to use it in any capacity, nor do I have a desire to.
And it's like when Jan and I, you know, we have these heated discussions, and I'm like, you can't, you know, no matter how mad you get at me, if you ever say I'm going to have to kill you. I'm going to catch a case. I'm going to have to kill you. I love you, but I will kill you.
Oh, no, no. Hey, Tracy, we got to get out of here, dear. You have yourself a lovely evening.
Well, as usual, you have yourself a great evening, and I'm trying, hopefully, I will see any more Rafael Lito, Eduardo Cruz, future king, anointed king of America. I said it!
You left out, you left out the booger eating.
Oh. I can't do that because it turns my stomach. Ew. Okay, that's it. I'll hang it up the phone.
See you, Tracy.
You sick bastard. Bye.
Bye now. And it is. The 3 hours have run past us. Time to get out of here. Thank you very kindly in the chat room to Texas T. We have taken the fundraising goal down to $200. Thank you to Asa for the challenge. Thank you, everyone who responded to it. Thank you to Charlene and Gerald and Jason and Steve and Tony. We'll have a $400 fundraising goal tomorrow for prayer meeting Wednesday. Yeah, I agree. Arthur says, come on, Bob, give Tracy a break. Give her the toaster. Toaster for Tracy. Indeed. Before we leave, one last update. 53.2% to 46.8% for Bernie over Hillary in Talibandiana. Y'all have a wonderful evening. Thanks to everybody who makes all this go. Thank you for sharing your precious finite time in this little nightly conversation. By the way, I had a heck of a good time on Nicole Sandler's show earlier today. If you want to check out her podcast there, I'm on like the last 15 minutes of the program. Well, I don't know if it's the last 15. No, probably not. About 45 minutes into hour two, let's put it that way. Thanks, everybody. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.